following has been pre-recorded for your listening and dancing pleasure.
This Doug and Danny podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.
Progressive presents Flo's newest smash hit. The Name Your Price tool gives you lots of coverage options.
The Name Your Price tool. You give us a budget and we'll show you a range of coverage options. But we can't go over all the dessert options. Your server will be back in just a second and he'll explain.
The Name Your Price tool, only from Progressive. Visit Progressive.com today. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Discover card, how can I help you?
Oh, you're real?
You know I'm real. With our new card, we're always here to talk.
Well, that's good, because I don't have time for machines.
Some companies just don't appreciate the power of conversation.
Real people.
Mm-hmm.
It's like I'm calling the land of machines.
And with their robot voices.
Oh, I don't like those machines. Oh.
Now, how can I help you?
Oh, I don't even remember.
At Discover, we treat you like you'd treat you. Talk to a real person. Get the new IT card at discover.com.
You're tuned in to the Doug and Daddy Show on Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. You can join the show by calling the Bruce Furniture fan line, emailing the Dent Popper inbox, by sending us a tweet or a Facebook message. The show that brings you guests that offer the best insight from the top professionals in sports.
Stu Pospisil, Omaha World Herald. Brian Rosenthal, beat writer for the Lincoln Journal Star. From ESPN, ESPN.com, Adam Rittenberg, Steve Sipple, the Lincoln Journal Star. Mike Babcock of Huskers Illustrated, Sean Callahan of HuskerOnline.com.
As well as the top athletes and coaches in sports.
Tim Miles in his initial visit to the Doug and Daddy Show. U.S. Olympian Tervell Delagnev, Doug O'Neill, winning trainer of All Have Another.
Who'll be on the show today? Let's find out by heading to the Midway Auto Dealership broadcast booth for the Doug and Daddy Show.
And Happy New Year, everyone. Welcome to the first Doug and Daddy Show of 2013. And was with everything. A new year means some changes, and we'll be talking about that as the program moves along, because this afternoon we have a brand new program coming to the ESPN, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation, as Jonathan Coachman and Coach & Company will be on our airwaves from 3 until 6, taking over for the Jim Rome Show. Jim moved on to the brand new CBS Radio Sports Network, and best of luck there. And that is not going to be the direction we are taking as an ESPN affiliate. So we're going to talk with Jonathan Coachman in the last segment of the show today. The thing is, when you look at Coachman and you research anything, 75% of it is about the time he spent in wrestling,
right,
or
right,
wrestling, as you would say, in doing Raw and doing all the things that Monday night fans like to see. And, of course, it's on almost every night now. But he had a long career with that as a commentator. And he actually went to, he's a Kansas boy.
Yeah.
Went to McPherson
Central
College.
Nebraska. Yeah, Central Kansas, right in the middle of the state.
And was a basketball player.
In an NAIA school, McPherson College, his hometown college.
So we'll talk to him about that and what to expect when we debut Coach & Company, which isn't a brand new show nationally, but we will be carrying it for the first time this afternoon starting at 3 o'clock, and he'll join us later on in the program. But obviously, folks, you have to have some reaction from yesterday's Capital One Bowl, Doug Duda, Randy Bushcutter, and you for most of the show today. Tell me what you think. And here's what also, not just about yesterday, but as the season as a whole, what you were, take yourself back to June and July, August, whatever your focus was about asking us and asking your friends and asking your coworkers and asking your dad and asking your son and asking your brother, how do you think we're going to do this year? What do you think the Huskers have this year? And remember what questions you had. Not what I had, not what Randy had, not what the national pundits had, what you had. How did the season play out in your eyes? For me, honestly, I thought Nebraska would finish strong. I was in the minority when I said that this football team would go 10-2 in the regular season, and I thought that that will get them into the conference championship game, which it did, and I thought that they could win the conference championship game, which it didn't, and I think that is
but
going...
They could have. They played a team that they had beaten earlier. I mean, yeah. They could have. They just came out flat, and I think their defensive game plan against Wisconsin in the Big Ten championship game was awful. They got woefully outcoached in that game. But yesterday, I thought was a pretty good matchup. I mean, just an outstanding quarterbacking
against
performance.
Against a better team.
Against a better team. And the coaching performance that Murray put on yesterday, Nebraska's defense has never been carved up like that. I mean, with the exception of one pass, one of those long touchdown passes, that little pick play where they went 78 yards, whatever that was. Except for that one pick play, every ball he threw was worthy of a guy that might very well be the first pick in the NFL draft if he comes out next year. You know, Dungy tweeted during the game, this guy might be the overall pick, the top overall pick if he comes out. We got carved up better than either one of the two Manning boys because we played both of them when they were in college. Jake Locker played us when he was at Washington. I mean, there's three or four NFL quarterbacks that have played against Nebraska in the last handful of years. I guess Manning is more than a handful of years, but nobody's ever carved us up like he did. I mean, that was an outstanding quarterback performance. Sometimes you can drop the ball in to a well-covered guy and end up being a touchdown. And that happened five times yesterday.
So you can talk about just the game yesterday or the season as a whole. We'd love to hear from you. 888-455-ESPN. 888-455-3776. That is the phone number to get in contact with us here at the Doug and Daddy Show. If you'd like to Facebook us or email us, we'd love for you to do that as well. Central Nebraska's ESPN Superstation is our Facebook page. Just like us there. Or you can email the program, as always, to the Dent Popper inbox, home of the armor lining. Maybe some of these ice chunks have made you bounce into things that you didn't want to bounce into. They'll take care of you at the Dent Popper. And our email address, Doug and Daddy@ESPNSuperstation.com. Doug and Daddy@ESPNSuperstation.com. So, briefly, again, in recapping, for me, as the season goes, and I'll get into the game because that's going to take more than just 60 seconds to talk about. But for the season, the turning point was losing the Big Ten championship game because I thought this team could get to the Rose Bowl and then we'll see how they do. I think they would have done just fine against Stanford. At the beginning of the year, you wouldn't have thought that they were playing Stanford. You would have thought that it could have been a USC or an Oregon. Mm-hmm. And if it would have been a USC team that everybody thought, it would have been their hands full. But nonetheless, that is really all that shocked me. Now, getting into the game as far as yesterday goes, my explanation, Nebraska seems to be an all or nothing type of defense here, which is obviously got to be adjusted. You can't be giving up 75 and 49 and 87 yard touchdown passes on third down or first play after, you know, so be it. But I think we all knew going into the game, we talked about it for weeks, the line, the massive offensive line and George's ability to run the ball. It's no surprise to me that Aaron Murray had a decent day. He shouldn't have had that good a day. But they elected to burn Nebraska through the air because Nebraska, for the most part, did a very good job of stopping the run because that's what they focused on stopping.
And with the exception of, like I say, the pick play, those are some good balls. I mean, the open guys are hit. I mean, if you drop the ball from just a perfect angle, you can't cover a guy much better than Nebraska did in some of those touchdown passes. You can't.
And it kind of all went down for Siante Evans at the last time that they went to the end zone, and they finally dropped one. Georgia finally dropped one in the end zone, and the camera caught them smiling both at each other and had a word. You know, Siante had to be going, it's about damn time.
Yeah.
Because if you watched the Rose Bowl, if you watched the Orange Bowl, if you watched any of the other stuff earlier today, not every wide-open guy is hit right on the hands in stride like Aaron Murray hit his guys yesterday.
Yeah, and one drop. You know, and one drop with that. And Martinez played all right. I mean, there was a couple of drops that would have helped his numbers out a little bit. The one turnover they had, you know, Nebraska was kind of driving there as well. Again, Nebraska lost by a couple of touchdowns. But like any football game, you change two or three plays. Nebraska's right in that. I mean, I just wasn't embarrassed yesterday. I thought they played one of the better teams in the country, went toe-to-toe with them, and the better team won by probably the appropriate point spread.
And here's the problem. Facebook, message boards, Twitter, emails, texting. No one just gets on their text and says, hey, great job. It's all about bitching. Mm-hmm. And I find that out even more yesterday. And I turn to our Dent Popper inbox.
Here we go.
And the first thing that pops up, officiating was terrible again.
And again, there's a couple of things that could have gone differently, yeah. but I don't know. You know, one grounding called against Nebraska. There was the exact same thing that wasn't called against Georgia. And okay, true. Absolutely true. But I don't think any of those were such massive bad calls. This is in Penn State back in 82.
And I didn't think either one was grounding, by the way.
I didn't either.
And the fumble.
If you're going to protect the quarterback, allow them to do what they did.
The fumble is weird because, as I argued, you watch the replay and the official closest to the play puts his arm up in the air, which is signaling dead ball, and you assume he's blowing his whistle at that time because you don't just run around the field with your arm in the air. So he's looking right at it, and he's blowing it dead, yet somehow this guy gets overruled. He gets overturned. They don't really review the play. No one's sure why. Even Bo Pelini says, I'm not sure why. And here's the deal. If they did rule it a fumble, I couldn't find how you could not rule it a fumble by watching all the replays. If you thought the officiating was bad, I thought it was embarrassing that ABC's television cameras, they didn't have a goal line view a couple of times, which you have that camera. They didn't have it turned on. That disappoints me a little bit that you just didn't have better
usually
looks
once you get the midfield,
plays.
Once you get the midfield, you can't put a camera on the goal line. Once you get midfield, generally, is what they do. That's that one that's on a truck bed that you see driving, you know, one end or the other. And they usually get ahead of the ball, but they don't do that when you're at your own 15-yard line.
But again,
don't do it 85 yards away.
Officiating, so there's always a couple bad calls.
It was a couple bad hops. You still got to field the ball and throw it to first base. You know what I mean? It's the same kind of idea here. Every once in a while, there's a bad hop. I don't think the officiating cost us. I kind of said this Monday, we needed to get some breaks. We didn't get those breaks. We didn't get the breaks from the officiating. If anything, you know, maybe 53-47 advantage, you know, if you're dealing with percentages here, advantage Georgia. But I don't think Nebraska got badly hosed by any stretch.
Let's go to the Bruce Furniture fan line. John from Kearney is standing by. Good morning, John.
Good afternoon, sir.
What's going on?
Well, I just, you know, the officiating, like I said, it wasn't going to help us win the game, but that's all that anybody asked for is just being a fairly officiated game. You know, if our defensive player would have grabbed Aaron Murray around the neck and thrown him to the ground like they did Martinez several times, we would have been 15 yards, you know, behind the eight ball. And, you know, what about the Georgia receiver who missed the one touchdown in the end zone? He caught the ball on the bounce and then threw it into the wall.
Yeah.
And there was no call on that. I just asked that the officiating be fair for both sides. And, I mean, it's so inconsistent. And that's why you can't have a conference affiliation with these officials. And they need to be, you know, just mandated by the NCAA and not be tied in by any conference, because some conferences, they just let that go.
And didn't Kenny Bell get punched in the game yesterday?
Yeah, he did, and then he fell down. I mean, and nothing was called on that either. So, I mean, it's just stuff like that that I just wish it was called. I mean, the call on Cotton when he hit the guy after the whistle, absolutely, throw the flag on him. You have to do that stuff. But you have to make that call on both sides of the ball, and it was so inconsistent, it's just unbelievable. And it's been that way in all the bowl games this year. The officiating is so inconsistent.
Hey, John, do you realize where the officiating crew was from yesterday?
I did not.
You want me to tell you?
I don't even want to ask.
Let me tell you, because they did say it early in the game. That's right, and I did say an expletive out loud as soon as they said it. Yes, that crew yesterday was from the Big 12 Conference.
Well, there you go. Sure enough. You see, that's terrible. I didn't even realize that. Now I'm even more upset.
Hey, John, have a happy New Year. Thanks for the call.
You too.
Hey, John's absolutely right. There should be no conference affiliation for officials. Get good officials, and it's not like you have a division officials in Major League Baseball. You know, these are the National League Central Division officials. No, they should be officials that officiate, move from conference to conference, travel around the country. They're getting paid enough. They can travel wherever. He's absolutely right about that. There shouldn't be, because then I think you do nationally get a little bit more consistent officiating. And it needs to be improved. I don't think there's any question that the consistency, because again, we protect somebody. My daughter, God bless her, she's 20 years old and watches football with her old man and knows stuff. God bless her. She sat there and said, you know, that hit, if it takes place with a toenail within 3 yards of the sideline, that's a late hit. But when it happens in the middle of the field, it's not. And I think we're referring to one of those where Martinez was taken down by the neck. If that same hit happens on the sideline, guarantee it's a penalty. Guarantee it.
Your thoughts, folks, 888-455-ESPN, 888-455-3776, or you can email us to the Dent Popper inbox, Doug and Daddy at ESPNSuperstation.com. So I gave my thoughts, Doug due to Randy Bushcutter. Your thoughts on the season for Nebraska, taking you back to where you were in July. Your thoughts?
If you told me going into the season that Nebraska would play for the Big Ten championship, that they would have outright won their division, played for the Big Ten championship against Wisconsin, would I take that? Yes, absolutely, I would. Only one non-conference loss, that was on the road at UCLA. Would you take that? Yeah, I probably would take it going in. So I think overall, I think the program is heading in the right direction. I think we just have to understand just how far we had to go when the change was made with the coaching staff bringing in Pelini and everything, how far you have to go. The ship hasn't been righted as quickly as we would like to. I guess what sticks in most Husker fans' craws isn't necessarily the fact that they lost to Ohio State on the road, you know, that they lost a Big Ten championship game, that they lost at UCLA, or lost in the bowl game to Georgia. I mean, if you really look at that, who should be embarrassed about those losses? But it's the marginal losses that they had. And again, it wasn't really necessarily offense. A couple of those games, offense put them in the defense in bad positions with turnovers and the like. But the defense just down the stretch, he gave up 427 yards. And we could talk about him playing perfectly. Well, then we need to play better defense. We need to get more pressure on the ball. Now, granted, we were a little injured, and we all know that. But overall, Nebraska is going to have to improve on a side of the ball that Nebraska is usually pretty good at, and that's on the defensive side.
Well, Bo came in. People will say that some of those were Bill Callahan and that regime's players, so be it. The defense got immediately better under him, but the offense wasn't any good. So, but he was bitching that the offense isn't any good. So Bo tries to get the offense better. Now the offense, really good. Here is a stat that really kind of floored me in a couple of spots. From 1970, let's face it, that's really kind of about the time the glory days started for Nebraska.
Man.
From 1970 until last year, 2011, that's 32 seasons of Nebraska football. When Nebraska had scored 30 or more points in 32 years, they had only lost 10 total times. All four of their losses this year, Nebraska scored 30 or more points.
That is an interesting.
It had only happened 10 times in 32 seasons.
A little bit of that.
And it happened 4 times.
A little bit
of
that is a change in college football. There's more scoring overall in college football. The average score is higher now than it was a generation
ago. And a lot of that happened in Callahan's last year. It happened at Kansas. Yeah. It happened at Colorado. Mm-hmm. I didn't pull out the rest of the stats there, but I mean, I'm guessing of those 10 times,
half
of them were under Callahan.
I bet you're right.
Just a strange stat. And as I've said, and I said it all summer long when people were asking about how Nebraska's going to do, nobody thought this was going to be a national championship team, and a lot of things have to come together. Another year's under the belt. Taylor Martinez will be back next year. And, yeah, it'd be nice if he wasn't leading the nation in fumbles or whatever it is he does, or turnovers or whatever the story is. But every time he turns it over, he has the ability to make up for it by scoring a touchdown, which if you look at some of these other players, they don't have that ability. So again, I'm with Taylor. I'm looking forward to next year.
If he makes as much improvement next year as he did this last year, holy cow. I mean, it might very well be impossible, but I mean, tip your hat to the young man. He got himself a whole lot better this last season. And I thought it was interesting when they were talking about the game, they were talking about the footballs. And they kind of show the footballs and how beat up the footballs are that Martinez likes to play with. You know, newer footballs are almost tacky. You know, they might be easier to grip. And I wonder if that doesn't change anything with interceptions, but I wonder if some of his fumbles, and even Abdullah's fumble, because they, you know, he handed the ball to Abdullah. If that ball is at all slick, I wonder if maybe that's one thing that they should visit.
You saw that yesterday.
Yeah, I saw that yesterday. And again, I don't know if that's going to be a factor or not. I mean, you got your 5 points of security on the football and all that stuff you got to take care of. But I just thought that was kind of interesting. You know, and maybe that's a small change they can make to maybe be just a little bit better.
Tom and Hastings via the Dent Popper inbox. Until we can recruit team speed on defense, the outcome will be the same every year. Also, the penalties and turnovers killed us throughout the year.
And he's right. And he's right. Absolutely right. I don't know. I know what the problem is. I don't necessarily know what the solution is to bring in more team speed. Because faster teams, especially the way college football is going now, faster teams play better. And again, they've been talking, they've been bashing on the Herd today on Colin Cowherd's show, been bashing the Big Ten all day today. You fix it by one team can change the entire conference, can change that whole thing. Nebraska, if they can come up with some team speed, they can change how they play. I think that Nebraska's offense is different than most offenses now in the Big Ten.
It's a moot point to get on and try to argue with somebody like a Colin Cowherd because he's not a Big Ten fan. But the point is, the Big Ten was an underdog in all seven games. Minnesota lost at the wire. Northwestern wins a bowl game for the first time since 1949. Michigan loses with 11 seconds to go. Nebraska is ahead of the team that everybody was, woo-woo, Georgia's awesome, into the fourth quarter of that football game yesterday. They're tied. And Nebraska's right there in that football game in the second half with this Georgia team. Okay, Wisconsin, 20-14 to Stanford. Five-loss team, beat up, doesn't have a coach. Explain to me, and now Purdue sucked, but they were down 17. They weren't going to be in that game. They were.
Yeah,
they probably shouldn't have even been in a bowl game.
They were in over their depth.
But outside of that, Purdue, should the Big Ten be embarrassed? No!
But the problem is, the reason why the Big Ten was an underdog in all those games, for the most part, was because of how poorly they did in those Pac-10 matchups that they had. There was that one weekend, with the weekend that Nebraska lost to UCLA. Everybody in the Big Ten played a Pac-12 school and lost.
But again, remember, if Ohio State and Penn State are in bowl games, they're probably a good chance that they're favorites and Big Ten gets a couple of more wins.
Well, yeah, because it makes every matchup that you mentioned there just that much better, because we would be have that team at the top that would go to the Rose Bowl and you know, make everything more stronger throughout the course of that, yeah.
Dent Popper inbox, I think the Huskers played hard yesterday. I think the offensive line had one of their best games. Both teams had defensive secondary breakdowns that resulted in touchdowns. Both teams had bad penalties. Once again, I was not impressed with Martinez. True, he did have to run for his life several times, but not knowing which plays he checked into, I think he tries to do too much himself. Second offensive series, we move down the field running the ball. We get to about the 30, and he throws three incomplete passes. Then we miss a field goal. Could go on and on, but the bottom line is improve the talent level of the players. Well, there's no doubt about it that it all starts with recruiting from Irish Ken, by the way. You can sit here and bash Taylor Martinez all you want. How about the check down to the touchdown pass to Jamal Turner? The guy shows his blitz too early. He checks down. The corner that crept up is confused, and he hits Jamal Turner. Look at the things that he did well yesterday. Now, yes, he's not perfect, but who is besides Aaron Murray yesterday?
Yeah. I like Martinez as a quarterback. And I trust me, 2 years ago, first of all, when he came in, you know, his freshman year, everybody's like, oh, this is the greatest quarterback ever. You know, and then reality kind of kept up with him with his passing. Last year, he didn't pass the ball worth a darn. I didn't think they played very well last year. But the young man improved himself. I mean, holy cow.
You can talk about
who are you going to bring in?
You can talk about throwing off your back foot all you want, but how about scrambling to the sidelines numerous times? Sometimes he dumped it away. Once he threw a pick he shouldn't have thrown. Sometimes he ran out of bounds. But wasn't it Kenny Bell that made the catch in the middle of the field? He's going out of bounds, and he throws across the body, and, of course, all the Husker fans go, no, no! And he hits him right in stride over double coverage, big play down the middle of the football field. Yeah. So where's the emails about that? Where's the discussion about that? Ladies and gentlemen, like him or not, the numbers will back up Taylor Martinez to be one of the best college football quarterbacks, not just at Nebraska, but in college football history. And you are not going to like all the stats, but you look at the passing numbers, the rushing numbers. What was it yesterday? There's been three. He's the fourth college football quarterback in history to throw for 6,000 and rush for 2,500, I believe was the numbers, yeah. before he's a senior.
And this Kaepernick guy is okay over in San Francisco. Yeah.
Kaepernick, Vince Young, Brad Smith.
Yeah, that's
they won
short
a few
list.
Games.
That's a pretty short list. And you know what? And yesterday, and you can criticize this, and I'm not much into smack talk and that sort of thing, but you know what? Yesterday, Nebraska's quarterback didn't back down to a couple of guys. He kind of had that ongoing battle with the defensive back for Georgia. He didn't back down, and I've never seen that out of him before. And I took that as a positive thing. And again, I don't like smack talk, and I don't know what was being said or all that. So, I mean, I kind of hesitate to even mention this, but the fact that he didn't back down yesterday, I've never really kind of seen that in him before, and I liked it. I was kind of, like, attaboy. And again, I don't like the smack talk stuff, but he didn't back down yesterday, and I liked that.
Here's all I'm saying, and I'll take my chances on buying a 2014 Rose Bowl ticket today. We're going to be back on the Doug and Daddy Show in just a couple of moments. Give us your feedback, folks. You're not shy to put it on all the other social media. Get out here and tell us what you think. We'll take a break and be back with more on the Doug and Daddy Show right after this.
Because Mike switched to Geico and saved hundreds of dollars on car insurance, his money clip wants to shake his hand firmly for a solid 3 seconds, but it can't. Fact is, most money clips don't have hands to shake with. Switch to Geico, and every time you notice the extra cash, you'll know your money clip wants to give you a firm handshake. But remember, it can't. It doesn't have hands. It is, however, happy that you're saving money.
Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance.
As the NFL comes to an end, all roads lead to the Big Easy and the Mercedes-Benz Superdome, home of Super Bowl 47. Let's take a look back on some of the past matchups. In 1990, the 49ers and Joe Montana rolled over John Elway's Denver Broncos. On February 3rd, 2013, all eyes will be on the Mercedes-Benz Superdome. And the final question will be, who will prevail? Road to the Mercedes-Benz Superdome is sponsored by Mercedes-Benz. Experience one today at your authorized Mercedes-Benz dealer.
The National Championship on ESPN Radio and ESPNRadio.com. Two traditional rivals go head-to-head for the National Championship in Miami.
Your sideline toss, got a receiver there, touchdown!
Will Alabama repeat, or will the Irish complete the undefeated season? Number one Notre Dame, number two Alabama. Monday, January 7th at 7:30 on ESPN, ESPN Radio, and ESPNRadio.com.
I'm Doug Duda with the Sports Minute on Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. The Tri-City Storm is on the road this weekend, skating at Cedar Rapids Friday and Lincoln Saturday. Face-off at 7:05. You can hear Storm Hockey on the Breeze, 94.5 FM. The Nebraska men's basketball team is at 8th-ranked Ohio State tonight at 5:30 on the Breeze, 94.5 FM. They'll host Wisconsin on Sunday. The 19th-ranked Nebraska women will host Wisconsin this evening at 7:05, and they'll host Purdue Saturday afternoon at 1 o'clock. That game is nationally televised on CBS. For the UNK men's and women's basketball teams, they'll be at Pittsburgh State on Thursday, at Northeastern State of Oklahoma on Saturday. The Hastings College men and women are at home tonight to take on Dort at 6-8 on 1230 KHAS. They'll travel to Mount Marty on Saturday. The UNK wrestling team is in Warrensburg, Missouri for duels with Ashland and Central Missouri on Sunday. And that's a Sports Minute on ESPN.
As skies stay cloudy today, we'll see a few flurries and snow showers around the area with a high temperature around 31. Winds out of the northwest will also stay gusting around 15 to 25. Tonight we'll fall off to 12 for a low. I'm Paul Schrable. Right now it's 30.
Doug and Daddy Show, Doug Duda and Randy Bushcutter back here at the Midway Auto Dealership broadcast booth. January 2nd, 2013. Mark says, no way, tar and feather them. Run Bo out of town, too. It wasn't exactly like 1995, so this season is a failure.
And it's kind of the feeling that we have. I actually saw from a guy I know, and I won't call him out, but on I don't follow that many people on Facebook anyway, but it was like, Bo must go. And I'm like, who are you going to bring in? Who are you going to bring in? Unless you got a better backup plan. Who comes in? Scott Frost? Is he going to change it? Is Turner Gill going to come back and change it? I mean, there aren't that many connections to good old Nebraska boys to come in here. You know, Mark Richt has some family in Nebraska. If we could get him from Georgia, my God, I'd take that. But short of that, I'm not sure who I'd want to bring in to replace.
That's just it. And we really haven't had a lot of people on the show today just running over Nebraska, at least not yet. But to those people that are like that, what do you want?
I don't know what you think is going to come in.
What do you want? I'm going to guarantee you, everybody that's listening, you all bank at a bank that Warren Buffett's not the president of. I mean, what the hell you want?
Yeah.
You can't have the best, and there's nothing to say that at some point Bo Pelini won't be close to the best. But again,
I think
the numbers are there for the man. So he gives up. So they're getting given up too many points. I agree with that. I get it. But you know what? It changed under him once. It will again.
And you know what? The same thing happened with Osborne because there was a lot of criticism about what Nebraska did, and then he made change. He started going with more team speed instead of that strong defensive line. He went to more team speed, and then they had the most dominant program in the 1990s after being fairly good in the 1980s. There was a period there where they were competing, weren't anymore, and then, all right, we got to make a change. I think the same thing's going to happen here. I really do. And by the way, I think I've seen growth in the head coach of Nebraska. Some of that stuff that you saw in years past on the sidelines, I think has gotten so much better. And I watched a couple of bowl games yesterday, watched about three bowl games yesterday, and Nebraska's head coach didn't get a 15-yard penalty for saying something to an official. That was in a different game.
Let's go to the phone lines. We go to Wood River where Ernie is standing by. Happy New Year, Ernie. What's going on?
Thank you, Doug. Happy New Year to you too, sir. Just want to give you a thumbs up. I think you're hitting it right on the head. Martinez is a pretty darn good quarterback. People need to back off. And no, it ain't like 95, but you look at 95, and how many of them offensive linemen through the 90s went on, got drafted, and had pretty darn good careers in the pros? And I'm not banging on the offensive line and the defensive line. I think they all played their butts off this year. But the defensive line, it's the talent level you guys are talking about. They need to get out, get some quicker, stronger guys up on the lines, and it'll be fine. And the other thing is it took 5 years for Peterson, and I'm going to bang on this, Peterson and Callahan to tear the house down. It's going to take longer than 5 years to rebuild it. So people need to be back off and be a little patient, and I'm with you on the Rose Bowl ticket next year. And if Martinez can cut down a little bit, I mean, let's get the skilled people in front of him. He's got the skilled people. Let's get some offensive linemen, give him a little more time where he doesn't have to scramble and try to do too many things, and he's going to be high on that Heisman list next year, and I guarantee it. So that's all I got for you today, guys. Great show. Keep it up.
Hey, thanks, Ernie. Have a good one. Ernie from Wood River firing in with some of the things that we had been talking about, and again, it's hard. It's hard to be patient. It's hard to be patient.
Well, we were so spoiled for so long. And you know, even before that little run in the mid-90s where they won 3 out of 4 national championships, I mean, they were always there. I mean, that was the frustrating thing about being a Nebraska fan. It was that one game. It was that one play, and you were always there. And this year, Nebraska was not a play or two away from playing for a national title or winning a national title.
You do need to hit that magic recruit button somehow. Yeah. You got to hit a home run in there. Everybody's fighting the same battle, and let's face it, you got to have a break. You got to have a break to get to the next level. It doesn't matter if you're 1-11 and you're trying to get to 500, if you're 500 and you're trying to compete for a conference championship, if you're a conference champion and trying to play for a national champion, you need a break to get to that next step.
94, 95, 97. Look at the Nebraska boys. The young man who played high school football in the great state of Nebraska, population 1.1 million at the time. And how many of those young men played Division I college football on an offensive line for the best football team in the country and turned themselves into professional athletes as well?
Come on, Hyannis, step up. We need some more players.
Yeah, you know, or Cozad, or, you know, and We had that, and that's kind of where you hit those home runs, because those very important players, where Nebraska was really dominant in 94, 95, 90, 97, and even 96, we were, you know, bad game at Arizona State from playing for a national title that year as well. The point is, we had a lot of those players that came from Nebraska. We're not getting that feed on that line. That pipeline There just isn't those players in the state. And don't blame the coaching staff for the fact that high school football players in Nebraska haven't been able to turn themselves into some of the best offensive and defensive linemen in the country. That was a bit of a fluke when it happened the first time.
There's Nebraska players on this team.
Absolutely, and some of them are darn good. I think that Rodriguez kid from Aurora is going to be awfully, awfully good.
They're just...
They're young.
They just, they're kickers and scout team quarterbacks.
But, you know, there are, I think Rodriguez is going to be pretty good. I think Rodriguez is going to get paid to play this game.
You might get some calls and emails on that one.
I think Port's all said and done.
888, now I'm not saying young. Me, I'm just saying. 888-455-ESPN, 888-455-3776, Dent Popper Inbox, Doug and Daddy at ESPNSuperstation.com. Coming up in just a little bit, ESPN Radio's Jonathan Coachman, host of The Coaching Company, is going to join us to bring you the last segment of the program today. It is Wednesday. Take a quick break here for our Loper Link, brought to you by CharterWest National Bank of Kearney. You have the reasons, they have loans. See Russ Smith today. The Loper basketball teams came back off the long break and swept South Dakota Mines on Sunday, 86-74 for the men, 59-55 for the women. Both teams will play at Pittsburgh State tomorrow night, and then off to Northeastern State in Oklahoma on Saturday afternoon. As far as the number one ranked wrestling team, they will be on the road on Sunday. They have got a pair of duels down in Warrensburg, Missouri, against Central Missouri and Ashland University on Sunday night. Those duels will be. And then the following week, it's off to Springfield, Illinois for the national duels. So some important time coming up here off the first of the year for the UNK wrestling teams. And that's about all that's going on, because they're just kind of getting things turned like everybody is for 2013. Our Loper Link brought to you by Russ Smith at CharterWest National Bank of Kearney, offering all types of loans from FHA, VA, RD, and conventional home loans. And for the seniors, the reverse mortgage loan. You have the reasons, they have the loans at CharterWest National Bank. Still want your reaction to the Husker football season and the Husker football game yesterday. Now we turn our attention to Nebraska basketball, where the men are at 8th-ranked Ohio State for the Big Ten opener tonight. Pregame at 4:30 on the Breeze, 94.5 FM. Tip-off is set for 5:30. It's also on the Big Ten Network. The Nebraska women will be at home today to take on Wisconsin. The Lady Badgers are 8-5, Nebraska 19th in the coaches' poll. That tips off at 7:05. Tomorrow on the Doug and Daddy's show, Nebraska will host Purdue on Saturday, which is going to be big in the Big Ten Conference standings. That's the epic games that they had last year, and of course in the women's championship game in the conference tournament. And K.K. Hauser from Lincoln Southeast is a standout guard, point guard for Purdue. She is scheduled to join us tomorrow on the Doug and Daddy show. If not tomorrow, it will be on Friday. They're still working on the schedule, just like everybody with the New Year's. It's going to change things up a little bit when they don't have class going on. But she is scheduled to join us. Also, Luke Hoover from RotoWire tomorrow, fantasy football, to get you ready for the playoffs. Because, yes, NFL.com has it for you, and you've seen the commercials time and time again.
Yeah, maybe that'll help me get my fantasy football taste out of my mouth that I had for the season. It was not one of my better years.
Mike Herzberg from Friday's show, a girls basketball coach at Northwest, they need some love too, because they won their holiday tournament with had Beatrice and Seward and Minden and Holdridge and all state rated teams, and now they are running along. So he will be among our guests on Friday. We will take a look at how everybody is doing in the bowl bonanza in just a moment. Now let's look at our email here. Sam says, I thought that Nebraska played hard and has nothing to be ashamed of. Change one or two big plays, the 75-yard pick play or the lucky bomb, and it very easily could have been a W. A lot of people were expecting a blowout by Georgia. As usual, you guys are spot on in your commentary. Well, thanks for that,
Ooh,
Sam.
As usual, that was a nice line.
Yeah,
there.
Yeah, wow.
Or did you add that? Did he actually write that?
When did Sam send that? Sam, get off the toddies, okay? But thank you so much for the email. Doug and Daddy at ESPNSuperstation.com. Also tonight, Hastings College basketball is at home against Dort, 6-8 at Lynn Farrell Arena, and you can hear that on 1230 AM KHAS. The Tri-City Storm won on New Year's Eve in a shootout, and they will be at Cedar Rapids Friday at Lincoln on Saturday.
That was a great game on New Year's Eve. That was fun. They played well. There was a little stretch there. The second period didn't play real well, but other than that, they played solid throughout the course of the game. It was fun. And the crowd wasn't too shabby. Okay. I mean, it was.
Did they give out party favors?
No, they did not give out party favors. 5 o'clock game, a little early for party favors. I mean, I'd love to see the crowd. I'd love to see the crowds get a little bit better because now they're about 500 at home. You know, they had been struggling at home, but they've had a nice little stretch here. They're right at 500 at home and not too far from the playoffs, and they're playing pretty good hockey right now.
Well, let's look at our bowl bonanza. We have two people that are going for the Russells. Well, we've got a lot of people, but we've got two leaders. Brent and Eldon are 15-4. We've got four more that are 14-5, four more that are 13-6, with six games yet to go in the national championship race for our grand prize Toshiba LED TV from Russell's Appliance and Electronics. Plus, we're going to be giving away large combo meals from Big Dally's Deli. So Brent and Eldon are hanging right in there right now, and almost everybody has Florida tonight, it looks like.
Yeah.
So there's no surprise. Does Eldon have Florida tonight?
If somebody has...
There's some Louisvilles. Just a couple, though.
Yeah. Well, you'll pick up some ground if it is Louisville. You'll pick up some ground because nobody else is going to have them.
Well, and I went Big Ten heavy yesterday, and since the Big Ten went 1-4, so did I. I am not going to repeat as regular season and tournament champion. Jimmy Langan's blowing us out. He's 14-5 right now.
I don't want to know.
And, you caught me. We're both at the 500 line, and... Wow, producer Jeff's got 11 right, but Jimmy Langan, he's going to get to do the happy dance on the show Friday.
And we'll be glad it's radio and not visual. We'll be glad about that.
He's going to win the bowl bonanza. We'll take a break. Jonathan Coachman, ESPN Radio, his Coach and Company show debuts here on ESPN this afternoon. We'll chat with him coming up.
Come on in, let the games begin.
NFL coaches call the plays right to the quarterback's helmet, just as a great sports bar like HK Sports Bar and Grill sends you the signals right to your smartphone when you text HKVIP to 90210. Hi, this is Jeremy, the new general manager at HK Sports Bar and Grill of Hastings. We're adding more feature items and bonus alerts every week, so text HKVIP to 90210. I guarantee you'll score a deal as an HKVIP. Text HKVIP to 90210 and let the games begin.
And now, another great hit from Flo. Discounts from Progressive are good.
Why is a strike bad in baseball if it's good in bowling? And then someone told me about a basketball strike. That sounds bad, but I'm not quite sure. But I think we all can agree it's good to get discounts from Progressive.
Progressive offers lots of discounts to help you save. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Discounts not available in all states.
Sport Clips, America's haircut place for men and boys, presents Guyology. Chapter 12, Kung Fu. All guys know Kung Fu, but don't try us. Every guy's just one hi-ya away from unleashing his leopard fists of fury. Guys live their lives a little differently, and we get it. We're Sport Clips, where guys get an awesome haircut while watching sports on TV. Sport Clips, it's good to be a guy. Visit sportclips.com for the location nearest you and MVP.
ESPN Radio Superstation 1460 and 1550 Weather Eye Weather is brought to you by Farm Bureau Insurance agents Rich Peters and Matt Myers on North 2nd Avenue in Kearney. Farm Bureau agents Rich Peters and Matt Myers in Kearney, no health insurance. As independent and authorized producers of Blue Cross Blue Shield of Nebraska, independent licensees of the Blue Cross Blue Shield Association, Rich Peters and Matt Myers will work with you to make sure you have health insurance coverage that fits your needs. Their approach is simple. They listen. And will tailor a policy that'll work within your budget. When you need health insurance, just call Rich Peters and Matt Myers, your local Farm Bureau agents. Farm Bureau Property and Casualty Insurance Company. Western Agricultural Insurance Company. Securities and services offered through FBL Marketing Services, LLC. Affiliate, Farm Bureau Financial Services.
As skies stay cloudy today, we'll see a few flurries and snow showers around the area with a high temperature around 31. Winds out of the northwest will also stay gusting around 15 to 25. Tonight we'll fall off to 12 for a low. I'm Paul Trabley. Right now it's 30.
Tell me what we got. Tell me it's a lot. Tell me it's a real thing.
Doug and Danny Show. Doug Uter, Randy Bushcutter with you here on Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation in the Midway Auto Dealership broadcast booth. Thanking you, the customers, for another successful year as 2012 wrapped up. And now 2013 is here. And at Midway Chevrolet Buick Cadillac and Midway Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram on South 2nd Avenue, they're looking forward to taking care of you for another year. Again, maybe you didn't get a new or pre-owned vehicle this year. Maybe it's time for one. Maybe it's time to just get some work done. Don't forget the Mopar Quick Lube, in and out, 30 minutes without an appointment. They take care of you with their certified technicians and mechanics to take care of your car, truck, van, SUV, whatever the case may be. Obviously, everything seems to be running a little funny with all the ice up underneath and trying to knock some of that out of there. Maybe it shimmied yours off just a little bit. Well, they'll take care of it. And don't forget, over 200 pre-owned vehicles in stock with all of the new selection as well. And you can check. You can check out online always at thinkmidway.com. Everything that is going on their lot with their specials, it's all right there. Thinkmidway.com. Midway Chevrolet Buick Cadillac, Midway Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, South 2nd Avenue in Kearney. Poll question, you can always vote on that at ESPNSuperstation.com. As we get ready to chat with Jonathan Coachman of ESPN, our poll question, how will the Huskers fare the Capital One Bowl? 60%, well, they said just flat out lose, wouldn't cover. 27% said win. 13%, like you, Randy, were right in the middle. I know there were a lot of people in the last few minutes of that ball game hoping Nebraska could punch one more in and at least make it 45-38.
Yeah, and had they done that, if they would have got ahead, again, you change one or two plays in almost any football game, it's a whole different deal. And they were one or two plays away.
And the Super Bowl, of course, coming up. That's our poll question today. Which team will win the Super Bowl? The favorites are the Broncos, Falcons, Patriots, and 49ers, obviously, because they have received the first-round byes. And you can also vote on other. Go to ESPNSuperstation.com and vote. We'll talk more about that in the next couple of days as well, as our Super Bowl preseason picks are still in there. I can get some pretty good odds. The Ravens are sitting at 22-1.
Yeah, that's not bad. That's not bad for them. That might be one of your better investments. What are the odds for the Falcons? Because they're not getting a whole lot of love, even though they're the one seed.
7-1. That's because they haven't had success in the playoffs recently.
Absolutely. And again, I think probably the Niners. I agree with Cowherd at least on one thing, and that is I think the Niners are the most talented team in the NFC anyway.
You're just easy to get along with.
That's me. That is, boy, my wife mentions that almost every day.
Doug and Danny Show, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. Doug Duda along with Randy Bushcutter. And as we said, we are pleased to debut this afternoon at 3 o'clock Central Time. Coach and company, and I know, folks, you've heard him fill in for a variety of shows. You've seen him on ESPN Sports Center, and he's a Kansas boy, and we are pleased to welcome Jonathan Coachman, the coach, to the Doug and Danny Show this morning. Coach, looking forward to the start of the show here this afternoon, and thanks for giving us some time. How you doing?
Oh, Doug, Randy, I'm doing great. You know, out here we've had like crazy weather, so I'm battling this cold, so I feel a little bit bad that my debut there in Nebraska, it may be a little less than stellar, but I always say that 50% of me is better than 100% of a lot of other people. So I'm just teasing. I'm doing great, and thanks for having me on today. We're really excited. I was trying to do some research, and I was talking to Bram Weinstein, who actually started his career in your neck of the woods, and told me to throw out the name Ed Littler for some reason. Does that make sense to you?
Yes, it does.
Ed's our television sports anchor in Hastings at KHAS, which has been there for years.
Yeah,
he's famous worldwide. So there you go.
There you go. Now you know. But yeah, I mean, I actually played in Hastings when I played at McPherson College. We played against Hastings a couple of times. I guess I grew up maybe 4 or 5 hours from you guys. So certainly I'm a Midwest kid out here on the East Coast now, and certainly excited about the show. And we've been on for a couple of months, and it continues to grow, and we're excited about being on with you guys as well.
Coach, do you really kind of feel a Midwestern, I don't know, do you still kind of hold a loyalty to the Midwest? Do you kind of feel like a lot of those East-West Coast guys that you're dealing with at ESPN that you kind of have to represent the Midwest, or have you been adopted in that neck of the woods?
Brother, I will never call myself an East Coaster.
Attaboy.
And here's the thing, they drive me crazy, and we fight all the time, because I feel like East Coast people, A, they always have to be right. They can't have a discussion. They can't just sit there and just say, okay, I see your point, now here's my point, and let's try to meet in the middle. So East Coast people drive me crazy. They always have. I'm proud to be from Kansas, And I will always be a Chiefs fan and a Royals fan, as much as it hurts and as much as we never do anything. All I have to hang on to is the Kansas Jayhawks, and I guess that's okay.
Nothing wrong with that. Very successful, and maybe we can get him in the Big Ten. But Jonathan Coachman's with us here on the Doug and Daddy Show. The show debuts here on ESPN, Central Nebraska's ESPN radio station, this afternoon at 3. Let's talk about a couple of the things and the big stories that are going on right now. I want to get your reaction to college football, but Ray Lewis announces this morning that this is going to be it, and he may not be fully healthy to go in the first playoff game, although he's expected to play. Just your reaction to Ray Lewis, one of the greats, if not the greatest, going to hang him up.
Well, it was funny that you asked me that, because I was just watching on the NFL Network the other day, The Football Life, which is a tremendous show, and it was the episode on Ray Lewis, and I always felt like I knew Ray Lewis. I've met him several times in, you know, especially since I've been at ESPN, and he's sometimes when you meet him, and there are certainly still people out there that have their opinion about Ray Lewis. I am not one of them. I think he's one of the most motivational, inspirational, motivated athletes and human beings that I've ever met in my life. So for him to call it quits, it's got to be a serious thing. He's played for so many years. I think he'll make a great coach, but I think he could be in the vein of Michael Jordan in that he'll want everybody to be as good as him, and that's almost impossible. But he is one of those athletes that I look at, and I realize why I love getting to do what I get to do all the time, whether it's SportsCenter, whether it's my radio show, at this level. And just to get to touch people like that, to me, is amazing.
Coach, four games this weekend in the NFL playoffs. Which one are you looking the most forward to? What is the storyline you find the most intriguing?
Well, I've thought all year long, guys, that the rookie quarterback story, as they continue to win and continue to win, and eventually they'll hit that proverbial wall you always hear about, or you know, they hit 13 games and okay, now we're not in college anymore. But to me, the Seahawks and the Redskins were the two teams that nobody else wanted to play, and now they're playing against each other. So I think that's going to be a terrific matchup, and if the weather holds out, I think Seattle can go to Washington, and I think they can beat Washington, because I think they have right now the best team in the NFC. But they play so much better when they're at home that we'll see what happens when they travel all the way across country to play in D.C.
Jonathan Coachman joins us here on the Doug and Daddy Show. Doug Duda, Randy Bushcutter on this second day of January, which also means college football. We're waiting for Monday's national championship game. You're a basketball guy. How deep do you follow college football, and what do you think about what's happened so far?
Well, as you guys know, if you're going to do a radio show, you got to cover it, you know. And I've always loved college football. Obviously, you know, I do, you know, NBA a lot here. But I have, you know, this year, for whatever reason, maybe it's the holidays, whatever, I haven't watched all of the bowl games. I did watch all of them yesterday. And it's just tough. And I've always said this, that it's tough when you've got 40-some-odd days in between the last game and the championship game. I don't think it's a fair representation of the teams, because it takes sometimes a quarter to a quarter and a half for them to realize, wait a second, I'm playing football again. And you saw that in a lot of games yesterday. Slow starts, Florida State, for example. Northern Illinois did not even belong on that same field with them. They were very disinterested, but their talent alone got them a 21-point win. So I think the games have been okay. I'm very much looking forward to tomorrow night, Oregon and Kansas State. I think that's going to be the best game. Maybe Texas A&M and Oklahoma will be good on Friday as well. But I still think there's a lot of good games still to come.
With the changes in college football, we're eventually going to have a Final Four coming up here in a couple of years. Are they moving in the right direction, or should they do more? If we had a true playoff format, we probably wouldn't have some of those matchups that we talked about. Do you think they're heading in the right direction, or should they do more?
Well, no, they. You guys look at it. I mean, you're in the heart of Division II, Division III, NAIA country. You know that. And for whatever reason, those playoffs work. You don't hear anybody complaining in those divisions. And even so far as, you know, the FCS, they don't complain there. They're absolutely going in the right direction. And eventually I think they'll get to 8 teams, maybe even 16, but I think 8 would be the right number. And then you'd see a true national champion, because just like I alluded to, that you would have teams playing back-to-back-to-back weeks, and you wouldn't have these long layoffs, maybe for the first game and not for the second and third game. And I think you'd see a true representation of who the national champion is going to be. So they're going in the right direction. It drives me crazy. It's taken until 2014 to get there. But, hey, there's a lot of money at stake, so it takes time a lot of the time.
Couple more minutes here with Jonathan Coachman, who you'll hear on Coach and Company, debuting here on our network, KXPN KICS, at 3 o'clock this afternoon. Coach, what makes your show different than some of the other ones that we hear?
Well, I think one of the things that we decided when we went on the air, and I had a weekend show for a year and a half with Freddie Coleman, is that we said life is difficult as it is. Everybody's got issues in their life. I don't care who you are. And when people listen to my show, what I want them to do is say, you know what, I'm entertained for the next 3 hours, and I want to laugh a little bit, I want to think a little bit, I maybe at times cry a little bit, I don't know, but you're going to feel something. But we don't take sports so seriously that we think we're curing cancer, and there's a lot of shows out there that do. The people who cure cancer are actually curing cancer. That's not us. And so we don't try to pretend that we are. We laugh a lot. We play a lot of games. They're all sports-related. And at the end of the day, I always say this at the end of the show. I say sports, it's not life, but life is a sport. So have some fun. Enjoy yourself. Don't take yourself too seriously. And just, you know, be kind to one another. And that's as simple as we make it. We're not smart people. We don't try to pretend that we're smart people. We just, you know, we just like to have a good time every single day, and I think that's what we accomplish most of the time.
Coach, if your show was a pie, how big of a piece goes to football? How big goes to basketball? How big goes to baseball? Or is it just kind of whatever the season is?
Well, no, it's kind of that, but at the same time, at ESPN, you know, I prefer to say you play the hits. And for us, the NFL is a 12-month-a-year sport. There's no getting around it, so you don't try to avoid it. The one thing I did have an issue with this year is, for some reason, Tim Tebow turned into a 12-month-a-year sport. And, you know, there were a couple times I got talked to because I was very vocal about the fact that I didn't want to talk about a backup quarterback who was doing nothing for his football team. So NFL is by far the dominant sport. And then I think you go to college football and then NBA and then on down to there. But certainly the NFL today on a Wednesday, there's no question that we'll lead our show today with all the coaching changes. And it's tough because we're not doing a local show. We're doing a national show, so we have to remember what people that like national sports want to listen to.
Jonathan Coachman, Kansas boy, McPherson College, played basketball. If anyone has ever followed Coach, you know that he had some work with the WWE, WWF, was with Raw, yep. Did a lot of that. Every anchor, no matter if they're on ESPN or closer to a local, has a little niche, has a little guilty pleasure. We all know about Van Pelt with golf and Colin with his maybe Vegas connections. You got a guilty pleasure that's not a mainstream sport outside of your career in wrestling?
Well, I think because we ran into the guys a lot when I was doing my almost 10 years of WWE, I love the UFC. I just do. I love how tough the guys are. I love, you know, the athleticism. I like that there's a lot of rules now, and it's not as barbaric as it used to be. So that's probably my guilty pleasure. I guess I'm lucky that I love so many sports, and I'm knowledgeable in so many sports that certainly helps. And that's why I love doing SportsCenter, and they love putting me on, but I don't have to do SportsCenter in order to be happy. I could do MMA Live, so I could do just about anything to be happy, but probably UFC is my guilty pleasure.
Do you think the UFC is going to grow into, you know, that next level? Is it going to be able to take that next leap? It's probably never going to replace college football or the NFL, but do you think it has that growth potential?
It does, but here's the thing. Just like with wrestling, and they've struggled with it in the last few years, you have to have stars. Imagine the NFL without stars. You wouldn't want to watch the game. Imagine the NBA without LeBron, Carmelo, Kobe, all these guys. You would never watch the game. If you don't have stars, then you can't grow. And the UFC is running into that a little bit, is that every pay-per-view, they've got like 2 stars on the show. You're paying $60. I want to see more than 2 stars. So if they can get more people into it, then yes. But it's huge worldwide, and a lot of sports are not huge worldwide, and that's the advantage they have over, say, Major League Baseball or the NFL.
Well, he was the Conference Player of the Year while at McPherson College, so I've got to ask you, and we'll let you out of here with this one, Jonathan Coachman. What is the athletic highlight of Jonathan Coachman's career?
Wow, man, I've been very lucky in high school and in college, and man, I don't know. I would probably say at this point, because I say being in the WWE, you have to be very athletic to do a lot of those things. I was fortunate enough to get in the ring, not get hurt, and stand toe-to-toe at the end with The Rock, Stone Cold Steve Austin, and these guys. And that's probably the highlight, is that over the course of time, I was able to do that and then parlay that into ESPN, which a lot of people didn't think would happen. And I never say I told you so, because I'm not that type of a guy, but it certainly has inspired me to try and get bigger and better every year. So that's probably it. And then also now being a part of ESPN.
3 hours until you hear it right here on ESPN. Jonathan Coachman, thanks so much for the time. We look forward to hearing you every weekday here on ESPN.
Guys, I appreciate it. And really, I appreciate you having me on today. And anytime you need me, just let me know, okay? Appreciate it. You having me on again.
Sounds great. Have a good one. Happy New Year.
All right, you too. Take care.
Good luck, Coach.
Jonathan Coachman, Coach and Company. Maybe we'll be company someday.
Yeah, I've heard his show. I've listened to it. I like the man's work, and like you say, he understands that sports should be kind of fun. You're still working in the toy department when you're dealing with the sports stuff.
He's got just a different background. And
yeah,
that's what you need. That's what you need to make it work. We'll take a break here on the Doug and Daddy Show and be back after this.
Jay Farner here from Quicken Loans. We get a lot of tweets from folks that sound just like this. Jay, I bought my home in 2007. Since then, it's gone down in value. Now I owe more on my mortgage than my home is worth. Can I refinance? The answer may very well be yes. Recently, the government announced changes that may allow folks to refinance even if their home has lost value. For example, if you owe $300,000 on your mortgage, but your home's only worth $150,000, Quicken Loans may still be able to help you. Or if your current mortgage rate is higher than 3.99%, you've got to give us a call today at 800-QUICKEN. And for 3 years in a row now, J.D. Power & Associates has ranked Quicken Loans highest in the nation in customer satisfaction for primary mortgage origination. So, if your current mortgage is higher than 3.99%, or if you owe more than your home is worth, call Quicken Loans today at 800-QUICKEN or go to quickenloans.com.
For J.D. Power & Associates award information, visit jdpower.com. Important terms and conditions apply. Calls for cost information. Equal housing lender. Licensed in all 50 states.
The All-State Sugar Bowl on ESPN Radio. After starting the season 9-0,